There we go.
Our New Testament reading comes from the book of James, chapter 1, 17 through 27. Hear now the word of our Lord. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Now I'm reading this to you from the English Standard Version, and so the wording may be just a little bit different, but sometimes that helps us to understand even a little better. Of his own will he be brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves being no hearer who forgets, but a doer, perseveres. Let me try this again. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their afflictions and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now turning to our gospel lesson in the book of Mark, the lectionary listed to be verses 1 through 8, and then 14 and 15, and then 21 through 23, but we're going to read 1 through 23. David just read in the Old Testament to not omit or remove any of these words or leave any of them out, so we're not going to skip over verses. So thank you for teaching us, David. Hear now the word of our Lord, starting in Mark 7, verse 1. Now when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold on to the tradition of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father and mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, which means that is given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many other such things you do. And he called the people to him again. So that means that he's not just talking to his disciples and the Pharisees. And he called the people to him again. And he said, hear me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. But the things that come out of a person are what defile him. And when he had entered the house and left the people, his disciples asked him about the parable. Now, of course they asked him about this because they're Jews. And they're taught they can't eat pork, they can't eat any animal with a cloven hoof, all these things in life are and food and rules, regulations, many followed by Jewish people today are, this is what they know, this is their whole life, this is what they understand. So of course his disciples asked him about this, and it says they asked him about the parable, and he said to them, then are you also without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile him, since it enters not his heart, but his stomach, and is expelled? Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All of these things come from within, and they defile a person. And this is the word of our Lord. The disciples are traveling with Jesus from town to town. And constantly you hear early in the scriptures the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the leaders of the Jews going to Jesus and criticizing his disciples because a rabbi is responsible for the behavior and actions of his students. Disciple means a student. Rabbi means a teacher. So Jesus being their rabbi is a teacher, and he is responsible. And so constantly they come to him and complain. Now, historic information outside of the Bible clearly says that many, many of the people, there were many differences in Israel and even in Jerusalem at that time, and not everybody followed all of the tradition of the elders. Not all of them followed the dietary restrictions and the clothing restrictions. But as followers of a rabbi, as disciples of a rabbi, the Pharisees and the rulers of the Jews were always looking for something wrong that his disciples did, not because they cared what his disciples did at all. They were trying to find fault with Jesus through his disciples. Just in the same way that somebody could find fault with Tomahawk Presbyterian Church because how I might behave when I'm outside the church. Even though the church may not have direct control over me, when I'm outside the church, my behavior is taken into account as a member of Tomahawk Church. And they chose this way to do it. Elsewhere in Scripture, they complained to Jesus because on the Sabbath, his disciples were walking through a grain field, and as permitted by Mosaic law, a traveler is free to help themselves to grain in a field as they are passing through, and they would take handful of grain and eat it as they were walking through the field. But they did it on the Sabbath. And so the Pharisees said that was work, harvesting the grain with their hand, and said and criticized Jesus for allowing his disciples to actually pluck grain from a stalk to eat on the Sabbath. Now they're complaining that he's not keeping the tradition of the elders by doing a ritual washing of your hands before they sat down to eat. Now, I would imagine that since all of his disciples were pious Jews before Jesus called them, that they were actually following his example. If he didn't do something, they didn't do it. If he did it, they did it. Jesus knew the hearts of his critics. He knew the hearts of the people who were seeking to do him harm. The tradition of the elders that they are talking about is not anything you will find in the Bible except as it's referred to in New Testament scripture. The tradition of the elders is something totally apart from Mosaic law. The first books of the Bible were written by Moses. Laws handed down in tablets and in words directly from God to Moses, who then either recorded them or had them recorded. And those are the words of the law. And in the book of in the words that Moses wrote in Leviticus and elsewhere, the priest who was selected, they selected one high priest at a time. And at that time, there was no Jesus here on earth. And man was not aware of Jesus, except for some prophets who spoke of him thousands of years before he was born. But men were generally not aware of Jesus' existence at that time. The only way that they were taught to come to God was through the priest. So when you were going to repent of your sins, you made a sacrifice and gave it to the priest, and the priest delivered the sacrifice, burned it, or did whatever had to be done with it. And then the high priest, who was selected for 1 year at a time, would go through a ritual washing, and then and only then they would actually wash their hands in a gold basin, and then they would be allowed to go into the innermost sacred parts of the tabernacle and eventually the temple. And that was what Moses said they must do. They must go through a period of prayer and cleansing, and it was a ceremonial thing they were taught to do, to wash before they went into the innermost sanctum of the temple. And so the leaders of the Jews adopted this in part and said that before anybody eats anything, they had to go through this ritual washing every single time. Now, there was no knowledge of germs. There was no knowledge of bacteria. That was a ceremonial thing that was done because if the priest had to wash, then so did everybody else. And this is what they're criticizing Jesus for not having his disciples do. Jesus is teaching his disciples that it's not what goes into your body, that it may be dirt, it may be different kinds of food, but it's what comes out of us that causes us harm. Now, last week, we talked about, I believe it was last week, I'm losing track. Last week, we talked about putting on the armor of God. Now, that was a little bit different. That was talking about how we defend ourselves from the powers of evil that exist, such as Satan. This week, Jesus is talking about how we defend ourselves from causing evil, from being evil, by using words, gossip, slander, by looking at things we shouldn't look at, saying things we shouldn't say, and thinking about things we shouldn't dwell upon. No one can control completely where their mind might wander. They absolutely can control where their mind might dwell, where they spend their time. We can't control what we accidentally see. We can control what we allow our eyes to linger upon. We can't always control what we hear, but we can control how long we allow ourselves to be in the presence of hearing evil or unholy things. We can pretty much always control what we say. And that responsibility is laid upon us. The late Earl Nightingale, who used to have a radio program called Our Changing World, some of people of my generation might remember that, but he had a radio program in a very deep, mellow voice, and he spoke about weighty things so often. And he said, words are things, and they have weight, and they matter. And you need to consider them before they come out of your mouth. I simply referred to that as the pause. And there used to be an advertisement, I believe it was for Pepsi, the pause that refreshes. And I call it the pause that protects. If we will stop and think about things before we say them, then we have a very good chance of not having that evil that Jesus is referring to come from us. This was an important message. Do you think the disciples got it? Do you think they understood it and took it to live by? Well, if you read on into the book of Acts, you will understand that no, they didn't. No, they did not. Because in the book of Acts, Peter is up resting, sleeping on the roof of a house of some friends. And the Lord comes to him. Many of you will recall this story. And the Lord comes to him in a dream, and a great sheet is lowered down to him. And on the sheet, which is held by all four corners, are serpents and animals with a cloven hoof, and all the kinds of food that Peter was taught to never eat as a Jew. And the Lord said, Peter, take and eat these things. And Peter said, no, I can't do this. And it was repeated over several times until Peter came to understand the Lord was telling him that these things were not evil for him to eat. Peter was then called. A messenger came to Peter to beckon him to the home of a Gentile leader, a centurion, who called him to come to his home and tell him about Jesus. Because it had come to the centurion in a dream to call Peter and have him brought to speak to him about Jesus Christ. And the messenger came to Peter, as his dream would say, and he went with them. And he's later there talking to, in Jerusalem, telling them about how all of these Gentiles were saved and received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues and were glorifying God, all these. And he's there in Jerusalem telling the leaders of the early Christian church, including James, the brother of Christ, and others, that what has happened and about his dream. And they are all amazed. And James at the end declares, well, then if God has said this, that we shall share the word with the Gentiles, that there is no difference. So the early disciples, even though Jesus taught them, didn't get this. And that's a comfort to me, because I can tell you that there's many times that I don't get it. I worry about the rituals in our church. I worry about the things that we do and whether we're doing it right. Do we have the communion cloth covered the food, or do we not have it covering the food? You should hear the agonizing that goes on over such things when we're preparing to have a communion service in this church, when we're preparing to do a baptism, when we're preparing to do any kind of thing in the church at Christmas and Easter, and having the on Monday, Thursday, and whether we're going to, how we're going to remove all the articles of faith from the church. There's nothing bad about those things we do, but we have to remember that the things that we do in the church are only for the glory of God. And when we do them because that's the way we've always done them, or we do them because that's what some book says to do, or we do them because I don't have a clue why we do them, but that's what we do. That's not to the glory of God. And so it's so very important that in what we're learning in this scripture from Jesus is that it's not what we do, it's not what we say, it's not the rituals that we go through, it's the fruits that we bear. It's how we live in community with one another. And he even closes it up by saying the thing about caring for the orphans and the widows, how we live in our community, how we use those fruits that we've been given. That's what is important. That's what Jesus is telling us that we need to care for. And so it's good now and then to change up our ritual a little bit, to change the way we do things from time to time, because we have to remember that everything we do must be for one purpose, and that is to glorify God, to show our love for God, and to share that good news with the community, with the world. Jesus is calling us still today to do this. Jesus is calling us today to be much more concerned with what comes from us than what comes to us. Be more concerned about how are we caring for others than how we're taking care of ourselves. Yes, our body is our temple, and we are responsible for taking care of the temple that God has given us. But it's really what we do in serving others that is so important, is so is so key to having a life with Jesus. Jesus is seeking you and I to be in communion with Him, not on the first Sunday of every month, but the first moment of every day, the last moment of every day. Jesus is seeking us to have a constant, ongoing relationship, a constant, ongoing conversation with Him. I can tell you that the only way that I am even close to ever being able to keeping the words from coming from my mouth, keeping the thoughts from entering my mind, keeping my eyes from lingering where they should not linger, keeping my mind from dwelling on what it should not dwell, is by keeping in constant communication with Jesus, keeping in constant communication through the Holy Spirit. Because we are who we are. We can't change that. But we can change how we handle it. We can change how we manage who we are and what we do with what we've been given. It is very, very important that we understand that the world is watching everything that we do and everything that we say. The Pharisees have not left. Okay, they're still there. They're still watching for you to find a way to say that your faith is not true, that this religious thing you put on is just a show, that you really don't believe the things that you say you believe. Because they watch our lives. They see who we are. And so, when Jesus tells them that it's not what comes into your body that defiles you, but what comes out of your body, He's not talking to these people 2,000 years ago. He's talking to Bill Barnett today. He's talking to you today. And it's every bit as important today, and probably much more difficult today than it ever has been before. Never has so much distraction, temptation, communication been available to us before as it is today. It is important that we keep diligent. It is important that we teach our children, our grandchildren, and the people in the community. It is important that we share the word with them. But it's also important that we are a 7-day a week, 24-hour a day person of faith. And that we don't buy back what we're selling by our actions, by our weaknesses. It's very important that we live the life that we profess to believe. Jesus is calling us today, telling us today, that what comes out of our bodies is more important than what goes in. That praising God and putting Jesus Christ first in our life is more important than any of our church's traditions, than any of our family traditions, or any of our things that we are used to doing. Jesus didn't mind making people uncomfortable at all. As a matter of fact, He seemed sometimes to delight in it. He said, "Still, you don't even understand? Even you, my disciples, don't get it?" And I'm thinking, I'm up here preaching every Sunday and I don't get it all the time. My goodness, I know how they felt. Let us set forth a real concentrated effort to control those thoughts, to pause and think about those words, to look at others the way that we would hope that Jesus would look at us, being trusting, forgiving, and loving. Amen.